Title: Pitching Ray Vocals Without Third-Party Plugins Advanced. All right, let's get into advanced drum and bass vocal pitching in Ableton Live using only stock tools. No fancy Formant plugins, no third-party pitch shifters, just solid technique, good warping, smart resampling, and mix choices that make the vocal behave like part of the rhythm section. The big mindset shift is this: in Rolling DNB and Jungle, a vocal snippet isn't a singer on top. It's a hook, a fill, a tension device, even percussion. So our job is to make it lock to tempo, cut through heavy drums and bass, and keep its character even when we pitch it hard. By the end, you'll have a reusable vocal pitch rack, a warp plus resample workflow for extreme pitching, and an arrangement approach that makes the vocal feel DJ-friendly and intentional across 16 to 32 bars. Step 0. Pick the right source, because that choice saves you hours. You want something short and confident. A rave command, reload, select a, come again. In the place, classic MC shouts, dancehall fragments, anything with strong consonants. Short phrases with crisp T's, K's, D's survive pitching way better than long melodic singing. If it's a long line, you can still use it, but you'll probably end up chopping it into the best one or two words anyway. Now step 1. Get it into time like a drummer. Drag the sample onto an audio track. Turn warp on. And here's a key point. If it's basically a one-shot or a short phrase, don't get obsessed with the original BPM. Set it roughly, then warp by ear. Your goal is not perfect time stretch science. Your goal is, the important syllables hit where they need to hit at 174. Pick a warp mode based on what you want. Beats mode is great when you want that choppy, old-school cadence. If you want it stabby, try turning transient loop mode off so it doesn't do weird looping on the attacks. Complex is general purpose but can smear. Complex Pro is usually your main choice for vocals, because it gives you formants and tends to keep the voice more voice-like. Here's the DNB timing thing people skip. Choose anchor syllables. Pick 1 to 3 syllables that absolutely must hit, like reload. Lock those to the grid. Let the in-between breathe a little. Over-quantizing speech is what makes it sound cheap and robotic, especially at 174 where everything is already moving fast. And think like a drum programmer. Common landing zones are the downbeat at beat 1 for impact, the end of 2 for syncopated callouts, and beat 4 is a lead-in or turnaround. If your snare is big on 2 and 4, try not to place the most intelligible part of the word directly on the snare. Put it slightly before as a pickup, or slightly after as a response. That one move alone can make the vocals suddenly readable. Before we pitch, quick coach note. Clip gain staging matters. Don't normalize just to be loud. Aim for consistency. If one syllable is way louder than the rest, pitching and warping will exaggerate artifacts on that loud spot. Use clip gain so the phrase feels even. Cleaner input, cleaner pitch results. Step 2. Pitch it the straight way inside the clip. In clip view, set warp mode to complex pro. Set formants to 0 to start. Set envelope around 128 as a neutral starting point. Now transpose. Try musically useful intervals. Plus 3, plus 5, plus 7, plus 12 for the classic rave chip up. Or go minus 5 and minus 7 for the darker, menacing undervoice. Add tiny detune offsets, like minus 8 to plus 8 cents, if it helps it sit against your synths and bass. Sometimes a vocal feels like it's fighting the lead, and a few cents of detune stops that static beating. And here's the advanced decision making. Pitch choices should be key plus function, not just higher equals rave. Before you transpose, decide the job of the vocal. If it's a hook that repeats, keep it mostly in key and consistent. If it's an impact shout, you can go more extreme, even slightly wrong, as long as it lands with the drums and feels intentional. If it's a riser or transition, pitch movement and energy matter more than perfect tuning. Even spoken vocals imply pitch. If your track is in a minor key, try targeting stable degrees like the root, fifth, and minor third. If it clashes, it's often because the implied pitch lands near a major third or a tritone against your bass note. So if you feel that "why does this feel sour" moment, it's not in your head. Move it a few semitones and it'll click. Workflow tip. Don't keep one clip and automate everything immediately. Duplicate the clip and make 2 to 4 versions. Vox plus 7, Vox plus 12, Vox minus 5, Vox minus 7. Then you can audition an arrangement fast and treat them like different instruments. Step 3. Formantish control without third-party plugins. Ableton doesn't give you a single perfect formant shifter device, but you can absolutely control perceived formants. First stop is Complex Pro's formants knob. If you pitch up, pull formants down a bit, like minus 20 to minus 60, to avoid chipmunk. If you pitch down, push performance up a bit, like plus 10 to plus 40, to avoid that muddy demon voice that loses intelligibility. This is the cleanest route. Then, use EQ as vowel steering. After pitching, drop an EQ8. Think of two zones, the vowel body, roughly 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz, and the presence edge, roughly 2.5 kHz to 4.5 kHz. Tiny moves, 1 to 3 dB, can make a pitched vocal suddenly sound like a believable human again. And indeed NB, high pass the vocal, dart around 120 to 200 Hz. Your bass owns the lows. The vocal lows are usually just mud and conflict. Next, a really powerful stock trick, split band pitch illusion. Make an audio effect rack with two chains, body and air. On the body chain, low pass it around 2.5 to 4 kHz so it's mostly low mid. Add saturator with soft clip-on, drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. If you want a little grit, add redux very subtly. We're talking tiny bit reduction and a gentle downsample, just enough to give it texture. On the air chain, high pass around 2.5 to 4 kHz so it's mainly consonants and brightness. Add light saturation or overdrive, and if it suits the mix, widen it a bit with utility. Something like 120 to 160% can make the vocal feel larger, without pushing the mid where the snare lives. This gives you separate control of intelligibility and weight, which is basically what people are chasing when they say formant control. Step 4. Extreme pitch moves. This is where the rave science happens. If you pitch a vocal a lot in one step, it can get brittle. A classic pro move is multi-stage resampling. Here's the process. Set complex pro. Dial your first pitch and formant settings. Freeze the track. Flatten it, or resample it to a new audio track. Now that printed audio is your new source. Pitch again if needed, or process it further. Printing isn't just about CPU. It changes your mindset. You commit, you edit faster, and the vocal often ends up sounding more finished because you stop stacking maybe processing and start shaping what's actually there. Step 5. Turn the vocal into a playable instrument with Simpler. This is huge for call and response tabs. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to new MIDI track. Start with transient slicing for natural chops, or slice by eighths or sixteenths for that jungle micro-edit vibe. In Simpler, use classic mode or one-shot for stab triggering. If your version of Live supports warp inside Simpler, use it if the slices need tightening. Then map transpose to a macro so you can perform pitch changes. This turns a single phrase into an instrument you can groove with. Try our rolling DNB pattern. Place hits on the offbeats. Something like a hit on bar 1 beat 1, then a syncopated stab on the end of 2, and another on beat 4. Then in bar 2, answer with a different slice around beat 3 and the end of 4. Keep it short. Think of it like a snare fill, not a lead vocal line. Step 6. Build your stock DNB vocal pitch rack. On the vocal track or your resampled vocal, build a chain that makes it drop ready. First, EQ8. High pass around 150 Hz with a steep slope. If it's boxy, dip 250 to 400. If it needs to cut, add a small presence boost around 3 kHz, just 1 or 2 dB. Then saturator. Drive 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on, and trim output so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. Then compressor. Ratio 3 to 1 up to 5 to 1. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds so consonants still pop. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds, depending on the groove. Aim for 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction on peaks. For de-essing without a dedicated de-esser, use multi-band dynamics. Focus on the high band, set the crossover around 5 to 6 kHz and compress the highs lightly, when the S sounds jump out. The goal is control, not lisping. Then echo for space. Set it to an eighth or a quarter, feedback 15 to 35%, and filter it so it doesn't add mud. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 6 to 8 kHz. Add a tiny bit of modulation for movement. Then hybrid reverb, but keep it tight. Short plate or small room. Decay roughly 0.6 to 1.4 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. And high pass the reverb return around 250 to 400 so the tail doesn't blur your drop. If you want this rack to be performance ready, make macros like air for a high shelf. Grind for saturator drive, tight or loose for reverb decay, throw for echo wet or feedback, and a phone macro that switches to a bandpass for breakdown teases. Step 7. Automate pitch for hype moments, the DNB way. A simple but massive technique is the tease versus drop contrast. Duplicate your vocal into two tracks or two clips. Vox tease and vox drop. On the tease, bandpass it, something like 400 Hz to 3.5 kHz, push echo wet higher, add a bit more reverb, make it feel like it's coming from inside the club. On the drop, go cleaner and drier, and if you want the classic rave impact, pitch it up plus 12. Then hard cut the tail right on the downbeat so the drums hit clean. Pretension. Do a pitch ramp, over one bar before the drop. Automate transpose from 0 up to plus 7 or plus 12. Pair it with a small increase in echo feedback, then kill the echo on the drop. That cut is everything. The silence makes the downbeat feel bigger. Now, quick advanced variations you can use immediately. One is a question and answer tuning approach. Make a question version slightly lower, wider, and with longer tail. Make an answer version slightly higher, drier, and centered. Alternate every 2 or 4 bars. Your drop will breathe without adding new drums. Another is microtonal detune for old tape rave energy. Duplicate the vocal. Keep layer in tune. Detune layer be down 10 to 25 cents. Add a tiny track delay like 5 to 15 milliseconds, and low pass it. Blend it quietly. It reads like texture and era, not like obvious chorus. You can also do mid and side control using only utility and racks. Make a rack with a mid chain set to width 0 so intelligibility stays center, and a side chain widened hard with lows cut. This makes vocals feel big without stealing the punch from snare and bass. And here's a clarity trick that works insanely well in heavy mixes. Consonant preservation. Make a duplicate track called Vox Click. High pass aggressively, even up at 1 to 3 kHz. Maybe a narrow boost around 4 to 7 kHz. Gate it, or use fast compression, so it mainly spits the attacks. Blend it very low under the main vocal. Suddenly the word reads, even if the main layer is distorted and pitched. Common mistakes to avoid as you do all this. Don't put warp markers everywhere. Too many markers equals tearing artifacts. Use fewer, move them with intent. Don't ignore complex performance. Pitching up without compensating gives chipmunk. Pitching down without compensating gives mud. Don't drown it in reverb at 174. Long tails blur drums. Use short spaces and automate throws on the last word or the last eighth note of a phrase. Always high pass the vocal. This audio version is shortened for playback.